Have you ever seen God? Sometimes I need to write a thank you letter to Standard Publishing for their Sunday school lessons, because I found it ironic that this morning in Sunday school we were talking about the idea of the ritualistic procedure Aaron had to go through just for the privilege of going into the Holy of Holies. But even at that moment, he had to throw all this incense on the fire to create this smoke to conceal his eyes so that he couldn't see God. Now, me personally, I just want to let you know, you're in safe hands. I have never physically seen God. He has never showed up and said, "Hey, Barry, this is me." But you know what? There's a different question. Have you ever seen God at work? Now, to that one, I'm like Sherry. I can answer yes. I can look back across my life, and I can look at how things have worked out, and even some things I didn't understand. I can be kind of like Joseph, and I can understand exactly what's going on, and I get it. I really do get it. I understand that God is at work, even though sometimes I don't see it. I don't get the big picture. So here's a fair question I'd like to consider. Have you ever had trouble seeing God in your life? I can answer yes to that one too. I can remember being in the storms of my life, and when things were going on and things aren't going, I can remember some times this week that I'm questioning whether I can really see God's hand in everything that's going on in my life. You see, this idea of seeing God, this idea of this relationship with God, even though we talk about it and we sing about it and we pray about it and we're trusting in it, let's be honest. There are just times in our life that we don't see it. We're going to take our next little step down God's Hall of Faith, and just to remind you of what we're doing, we are walking down Hebrews chapter 11 and all these pictures that God hung up, and he used this term, by faith. And so we've been building our little art gallery over here, and we've been hanging up the pictures as we've looked at them, and the people that God said, by faith, this is what happened to their life. And well, today, we get to Moses. This is what the writer of Hebrews writes about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 30 through 29. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as the greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And as we begin to look at this picture, there's a lot of by faith in this guy. I mean, usually the people only get a one, right? The pictures that we've hung up so far, there's only a one by faith. And Moses looks quite different. And maybe the by faith for Moses is quite different as well. If we actually took time to read all of Moses' story, we wouldn't make it by noon today. His story begins in Exodus chapter 1, not with Moses, but with the oppression of Israel. Remember, when we left Israel last time, they were all nice and happy because Joseph had saved their life and they were in the welcome land. And now when we step to the next picture, we've moved about 400 years into the future. And there is a king there that doesn't know who this is, and he doesn't know who Joseph is. Another person has come, and Moses has been raised up. Moses is there. The people have been suffering now. They're now slaves. And there's a lot more than 12. There's bunches of them, and bunches and bunches. And so God has raised up Moses, and we see Moses' birth in the first part of Exodus. Then the second part of Exodus, we kind of see Moses' fall. Well, the fall actually of Pharaoh, because you know he, in the second part we see that he begins to get the murder of the idea comes into it, and the idea that Moses wasn't who he thought he was. And then as we move on through Exodus in chapter 3, we get to see his calling. Exodus chapter 4, we get to see he returns to Egypt. Then in Exodus chapter 5 through 12, we get to see how he deals with Pharaoh. And then late in Exodus chapter 12, Moses leaves Egypt the victor. In chapter 13, we get to see how Moses crossed the Red Sea. We all have the picture of Charlton Heston, right? Holding up your staff. And then pretty much from Exodus all the way to Deuteronomy, we get to see Moses and the rest of his life. So if you want to read the story of Moses this week, all you have to do is read from Exodus to Deuteronomy. And that is his entire story. And there's a lot there until we actually get to Exodus chapter 34 and we get to see he dies. It's a huge part. Because Moses plays such a big, important role. Did you know in the New Testament, Moses is talked about more than Abraham? Moses is more mentioned. Who is the lawgiver? Moses. Who is it that the Pharisees are holding tight to? Moses. The name Moses was so big, and I want to take a moment to stop and look at his faith. Because it's a pretty incredible picture that the writer hangs here for us to look at. As a matter of fact, if you just look at those little simple by faith statements that we see about Moses, just there in Hebrews, it forms a wonderful picture of what faith means to a lot of us. We begin in Moses' faith by taking a look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. This is what it says. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. Now, that would be amazing to me. I've had a newborn baby in my house. I've had a newborn baby in my house twice. And to be honest with you, it's the last time I plan on having a newborn baby in my house that's living with me. It's just not going to work that way. And the idea of hiding a newborn baby for 3 months, that just doesn't work well. But you have to understand, he was here for 3 months because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So you need to realize that Moses' faith began with his parents' faith. That's important. Moses' faith actually came kind of almost the inherited thing. He got to see firsthand what passionate faith looks like because of his parents' faith. See, Moses' parents, they realized God had a plan. Maybe in the back of their mind, they had kept into the idea that Joseph had told the nation of Israel when they were a little tiny thing all those years ago that God's going to come back for you. Where you're at is not where you belong. This isn't where you're going to stay. God's got a bigger plan than you think about. They heeded the idea that their son had a role in God's plan. Man, these are some forward-thinking parents, aren't they? I mean, not only did they actually believe God had a plan, these parents had such strong faith, they actually believed that their son would play a significant role in God's plan. That's pretty cool. They risked their own lives to save his. Now, that's probably not that unusual for parents these days, right? I mean, most of us would risk our lives to save our kids on most days. There are some days you don't want to ask me that question. You really don't. And you know what? You might say, that's awful. But trust me, if you're a parent, there are just those days. You're like, I could put them outside with a buy one, get one free sign. I'd be totally okay with the idea. But Moses' parents, remember what was going on. All the other parents around them were sacrificing their children because Pharaoh said so. Moses' parents refused to do what the rest of the world was doing. They refused to listen to the king's order. And if Moses was found, then you understand not only would they kill Moses, they would have executed the entire family, the entire household. They put everything at risk because of their faith. So this morning as we begin to look at Moses' faith, I want to pause for just a second. I want to say something to the parents. Parents, if you have young children or even older children or grandchildren or children in your life, never underestimate the value of just displaying your faith. Because sometimes what they see, even though they'll never admit it, it begins to sink in and begins to take an effect. Never, ever underestimate the value that you can get by displaying faith to the next generation. Now, his faith came from his parents. He saw it there, but you know what? Moses had to make a choice. His parents' faith had to become his choice. His parents took the risk, and his parents put him in the little basket and put him out sailing on the Nile. And his parents saw that he was well taken care of, and his parents saved his life. But it's interesting, his parents couldn't make him take the walk. That was Moses' choice. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son's Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'll get to that right. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ to be greater than the value and the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses grew up in a castle. Well, I guess it was sort of a castle. It was made out of sand blocks, but it was a castle. And he had all the choice food and the choice wine and the choice women. Moses was the prince of Egypt. He had a right to the throne, believe it or not. Now to think about that, if Moses had just stayed put, he could have gotten all of this suffering over with, because he could have just waited for the Pharaoh to die, or else he could have helped it along a little bit. And he could have just been king, and then he could have just made his own plan to let the people go, right? God didn't want it that way. Because that would take no faith. That would have taken nothing from Moses but just trying to follow the rest of the world. Moses was going to have to make some hard choices. Moses, he was going to have to choose to be identified with the people of God rather than the people of the world. Moses was going to have to look at if these people that were nothing more than slaves and were being whipped and beaten and were nobody but the grunt people of Egypt, and he was going to have to make the decision inside of his own mind, do I want to be part of those people, or do I want to sit here in the castle and be fat, dumb, and happy for the rest of my life? Now, we think that's the choice. Really? Because there are many of us and many people that we choose I want it convenient. I want it easy. I'm not interested in identifying myself with the people of God, because that's going to mean some inconvenience to my life. And you think that's hard? Moses chose suffering over pleasure. When Moses decided to be one of the Israelites, it isn't like they gave him a pass. Moses was going to have to go out and make bricks. Moses was going to have to get out there and get his hands dirty. Moses had the potential to be beat at that point. When Moses decided, I choose God's people over the world's people, I choose God's path over the world's path, Moses was drawing a hard line. A line that was going to lead to suffering. Folks, that takes some faith. He's walking away from a world full of opportunity. For what? To be a slave and a brickmaker? Moses, have you lost your mind? Do you understand the opportunity you're giving away here? You know how much good you could do if you just stay put and you let them make you a ruler someday? Moses' faith went a little deeper than that. You see, because Moses, he chose treasure with God to be more important over earthly riches. Jesus tells us about this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You see, Moses could make this phenomenal choice because Moses held God more valuable than he held Pharaoh. Moses held faith more valuable than he held the nice comfy bed that he was sleeping in. Moses felt God was more valuable than all of the power and riches that could come if he just lived life the way he was doing it. I'll tell you what, I surrender all. That's a tough choice. I don't think we understand what Moses was giving up here. Or maybe we do. Because you know what? We all have a lot of all that needs to be surrendered. And maybe we need to look at faith the same way Moses does. And then not only did he do all of this surrendering, not only did he make that positive choice, you have to realize this wasn't a one-time thing for Moses. He didn't go forward and make some kind of commitment to be an Israelite and then go out and do things the way he wanted to do them. No, Moses, he chose to pursue God. His journey took him somewhere. It didn't leave him sitting there where he was. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, by faith, Moses, drop down a little bit. I've lost my place here. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now, I like this idea because Moses, when he started, had no idea where he was going. Moses, when he started, this God, this Hebrew person, he was non-existent. He was invisible. The picture wasn't very clear. He was chasing a myth, a legend that had been silent for many, many, many years. And so he's making a choice to go after that which is invisible. I think people laughed at him a little bit. You think maybe they ridiculed him a little bit? I mean, here is this crazy man and he's chasing this ghost of a god. I mean, we're here in Egypt and look around. We have all of these gods and you can see them. We've got big statues erected to them and we know who they are and you can reach out and you can physically touch them. And here's Moses and he's chasing this invisible God. This man's a lunatic, right? Well, not if you follow his journey. Because you know what? Moses got to do something that a lot of us never get to do. Moses saw God. Moses saw God in the burning bush, the clip that we were watching at the beginning. The idea that when God was ready to use Moses, he called out to Moses from the burning bush and he called him there. And I love the look on Moses' face when God is explaining Moses what the problem is. And he says, but I've got a plan. And Moses said, no, okay, I'm listening. I'm sending you. What are you talking about, God? You got the wrong messenger, God. But you understand, Moses, for all practical purposes, is having a face-to-face conversation with God, although God shows himself as a bush that is burning but not being consumed. Moses is having an audible conversation with God when God says, Moses, I'm sending you. That's impressive. That's impressive for the choice he's making. And if you think it's a one-time event, you have to realize Moses again saw God on a mountain. This is after he'd gone down to Egypt and the people had been freed and they'd come to Mount Sinai and he had climbed up on top of the mountain and it says that God himself came in a pillar. God himself showed up and helped write the commandments the first time. God himself was there. So Moses got to have a second conversation with God. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you love to have that opportunity sometime just to sit down and chat with God and say, could you just explain it all to me now? Moses had this opportunity, not once, not twice, but you know what? It was a daily thing. You see, because Moses and God had tent meetings. This is what it says in Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Well, we know what that means, right? We're all supposed to go up there and meet. Nope, that's not what it meant. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of the meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. This wasn't a one-time event. Man, they used to have campfire chats. You could even encourage me to go camping. If I'm going to, I get to go to the campfire chat with God, I would even sign up for a camping trip. This is who Moses was. This is where Moses' faith led him. This wasn't a one-time thing, and all the people realized Moses had done something special, because as everybody else went out to this tent meeting, they went out there and maybe they prayed, maybe they had a little something. But when Moses went out there, all the people watched in attention as Moses walked through the camp, because they realized when Moses got to the tent, God would be there to talk with him. Wow. That's Moses. That's Moses' faith. And if that isn't enough, Moses got to see God in the cleft of the rock. I mean, this is the most visual that you ever get of somebody actually getting to see God, because God gives Moses that one wish. Remember, he's been talking to God. He's been having conversations with God. And Moses said, well, God, I've heard you, but I want to physically see you. And God said, you know you don't. Really, you don't. Because if you do, you would just keel over dead. And we got work to do, so I can't do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to cover the cleft, and I'm going to pass by. And after I pass by, I'm going to move my hand, and I'm just going to let you see my backside as I go off into the distance. I'd be satisfied with that, really. But this is Moses' life. This is what Moses did. You see, Moses' passionate faith Moses' passionate faith was his constant ability to see God. Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't you like to have that? Wouldn't you like to have the ability to see God at work in everything in your life? Wouldn't you like to have faith like that? Well, there are some things that we can look at in Moses' life that maybe led to this idea that he could have this open fellowship with God. If we just keep following down to Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 28, we find out Moses, well, he obeyed God's instructions. It says a lot about Moses. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Now we've talked about the story of Passover. We just talked about it in Sunday school a few weeks ago. We've talked about it in worship before. We've done sermons on it. We understand the idea of Passover was that last great plague in Egypt, where they actually had to go out and everybody was required to huddle into people's houses, and they would go out and they kill the lamb, and they put the blood up on there, and it formed a nice cross picture as they went around the door frame, and that marked that door frame that the angel of death was supposed to pass over that particular house. That was the entire idea of Passover. But God also gave some instructions about Passover after the fact. You see, this wasn't that one-time event. When God was up on that mountain handing out those Ten Commandments, God gave Moses a whole bunch of instructions. And one of those sets of instructions we looked at a few weeks ago in Sunday school, because God gave him instructions that you're supposed to keep the Passover until the day. Every year they had a Passover festival. It ties in with when Jesus was celebrating the Last Supper. They had come together to celebrate Passover. Why? Because Moses instilled upon all of the people of Israel, this is important. You know, the funny thing is you read through the nation of Israel, they had problems with worshiping other gods and chasing after false idols, and they were taken out of the land a few times. But as you read through the stories, you know what never changes, don't you? No matter where they are, they're still celebrating Passover. Even today, after the Messiah has come, and we believe that sacrificial system is gone because Jesus replaced it with his sacrifice, the people that are still worshiping under the Jewish law, guess what? They're still celebrating Passover. Because Moses followed these instructions to the letter, and he passed them on to the next generation. I think that's what God's sometimes waiting for us to do if we really want to see God at work. He's just waiting for us to do the basics. Just follow the instructions I've given you. Because those instructions will lead you back to me. That's Moses' faith. Moses' faith, well, it allowed him to take the path God opens and let God deal with his enemies. Now we get back to the Charlton Heston picture. Oh yeah, we know, because it'll be on here in a few weeks. You know that, right? In just a few weeks, you'll be flipping through the channels, and there will be the Ten Commandments. And if you have about 4 hours of your life to spend, I think that's about right. By the time they put in commercials, it might be about five. I don't know. But if you have an afternoon of your life to spend, and it is a halfway decent reenactment of what was going on, with a little Hollywood thrown in, but we get the idea. You know, the people of Israel there, they had been let go, and they had gone, and here they were, and they were standing there at the Red Sea, and there was this pillar there, and the Egyptians were coming, and they were like, we're going to die. There's a mountain to our left, and there's a mountain to our right, and there's a sea in front of us. You ever notice Moses not panicking? I got to be honest, as the leader at that point, I think I would be in a panic. Like, okay, God, you didn't tell me about the ocean. I would have been checking my little GPS. Did I turn left when I was supposed to turn right? Am I going the right direction at this point? What is happening here? Here I am, I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere. God, what did I do wrong? Moses isn't panicking. If you go and read that story, what's Moses doing? He's listening. He's listening to the instructions God's given at the moment when everything is about to fall apart. There's about to be mutiny. He's got a million people out here. They might throw him in the Red Sea at this point. We don't know. But I love the picture that they do show in that movie, because Moses says, everybody, calm down. Just take a chill pill. We got this. God didn't lead us out here to die, and he steps out and he stretches out, and the path just opens. Man, that's faith. Stand up on that rock. What if God decided to wait a few minutes for dramatic points of interest? This could be the end of Moses. But he has faith. God didn't bring us this far. I followed God's instructions. I did exactly what God said, and God will not let us down. Watch. And he opened up that Red Sea and over the Israelites' cross. And you know what? When they got to the other side, you know what? The Israelites were still worried. You know why? Because they were looking back, and here comes chariots across the Red Sea too. And they're like, Moses, what are you doing? Are you crazy? All you're doing is letting them kill us on this side of the river instead of on that side of the Red Sea. What are you doing? And Moses said, you know what? Oh, you have little faith. Because you know what? You're not going to see these people anymore. And he lifts up his hands, and down comes the water again, and the Egyptians are gone. The enemies that were pursuing him are gone. Now, don't you think we should take a lesson about that? Because we get to points in our life where we can't go forward, we can't go left, we can't go right. Behind us is our enemy, and we panic in our faith. We start looking for solutions. We start trying to make ladders to go up the rocks, or we're taking swimming lessons to learn how to swim, or we're lightening the load. We try to solve the problems ourselves instead of taking them and listening to how God wants to solve them. And then we get so focused on our enemies that we think we're going to get overrun, and we don't realize God's got a plan for that too. You see, this is what makes Moses such an amazing story, is because Moses' faith, well, Moses' faith took him on a journey. He really did. Moses started this journey back in Egypt as the king, the prince of Egypt, the next one in line for power. But Moses' journey took him out to a desert also, after he had committed murder, after he had been out there in exile, and he had actually kind of gotten comfortable in his life yet again, and he had become a shepherd, and he had a wife, and you know what? I'm good. But the journey wasn't over. Moses' journey took him back to Egypt, where he had to stand before Pharaoh yet again, not as the prince of Egypt, not as the slave, but as the messenger of God. It took him through what should have been a really simple trip, going from Egypt to Israel. Didn't get so simple, because he had a million tag-alongs with him that refused to see God the way he saw it. And consequently, Moses spent most of the rest of his life wandering in the wilderness just trying to convince people to see God. But you know what? I have to admire old Moses. Because when God hung his picture in the hall of faith, he says, you need to realize, Moses did see me physically. Moses did have the benefit of seeing God as he passed by. Moses saw God emotionally. He saw God's heart. He saw God's love for the people. Even after all that time, God had not forgotten about the Israelites. He saw them spiritually. He understood exactly what was going on. Moses' life took him on a journey with faith. Passionate faith. Here's what I want to know. Where's yours going? We all sit here this morning, and I'm going to make a huge assumption. You're sitting here this morning because somewhere in your life is faith. Somewhere in your life, there's some form of faith. Maybe that faith is you're sitting here because of the faith of your parents. Okay. There's still faith there. Maybe you're sitting there because you're just now starting to get that little bitty picture of who God is. Well, there's still faith there too. Maybe you're walking this walk and you're trying your best and you're trying to follow God's instruction. That's faith. Everybody here, you're sitting here today because of some form of faith. You really are. Maybe not yours, but some form of faith. Where do you want that faith to take you? Is this as far as your journey goes? Is your journey just going to showing up here on Sunday mornings and doing the things that we're supposed to do, and then you go back into your life and you live the other half of your life? You know why I think Christians struggle so much? Sometimes we're slightly schizophrenic. We want to live this way and that way, and we don't understand there's only one way. You can only choose one path. You don't get to stand in the middle. So where's your faith going to take you? Is your faith going to go just maybe a little bit further? Well, maybe you just dip your toe into the water a little bit further and you'll just get a little more comfortable and you'll actually start doing some other things for God. But you know what? It's really not going to ever impact this other side of your life. Is that where your faith is going? Or does your faith look more like Moses? It starts out small, but it continues to grow. It continues to get bigger. And the more it grows and the bigger it gets, the more of your life it begins to consume, to when you get to the point where you can't tell where your life ends and your faith begins. They so become intertwined with each other that you really can't separate your life from your faith. And let me tell you, when you get to that point that it's all intertwined together, that's when you get to see God. Now, again, I don't think physically until you get to heaven. But you will be able to look out across your life and you will begin to understand how God is at work, even in the situations that you don't understand. You can still follow God. And that's impressive, folks. And that's what I want you to think about. Not where are you today in your faith. Where do you want to go? Is what you have enough? Are you looking for something more because you still got this empty spot inside of your life and you just want to fill it? We're going to do a time of decision, and that's where I want to leave this. Today's decision is real simple. Maybe you're here today and it is just somebody else's faith. You got all the facts and details, but it's not personal. Let me tell you something. God is a personal God, and he wants you to be personal with you. And maybe today you need to make that decision to be personal with him. It means you're going to have to come forward and surrender all. Wave that white flag to say, I'm done. I can't fix this by myself. I surrender, God. I choose faith. Come on forward. If you don't understand all the details, that's okay. We'll put you with somebody. We'll turn the pages of Scripture. We'll help you to understand. We can be here all day for this. That's fine. It's cool. Come on forward. Maybe you're here today and you've taken that step. But after you took that step, you're kind of like Moses after he left Egypt. You've wandered off into the wilderness and the desert and you found yourself a life. A wife, a kid, some sheep. You know, you're good. You've just gotten kind of comfortable. And God is just kind of that person you used to worship. He used to be a big part of your life. Let me encourage you to use this time to decide, it's time I get back in the game. It's time I go and see God and repent of what I'm doing and decide to follow him. Where you're at in your walk and your journey, I have no idea. Invitation is simply a time when you need, if you need to talk to somebody, you need to pray with somebody, we're here for you. Would you please stand and we're going to pray and then we're going to sing.